I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. What is going on, OTB Nation? Welcome into episode number 272 of the allegedly award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA rank, and of course viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box Podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. It's KB and Deej coming at you. We got the final week of the NLL regular season on deck, with one final postseason spot left up for grabs. Got a lot to dive into to break down who's in, who's out. We have our location for the 2023 PLL All-Star Game. We're going to get into Kark's big boards. Obviously, the PLL draft is about 2 weeks away, May 9th. Make sure you tune in to our live stream. We're working on some big stuff for the live stream that you won't want to miss. So we're going to dive into that. I'm going to get DJ's thoughts on some of these players, because obviously I do my highlight big board. Deej does his critical analysis big board, like we always do. And then whatever else comes to mind as we keep this episode flowing. But before we get started, make sure you guys are following us at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram. Follow Deej on Twitter at SCS underscore next great. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. It goes a long way for helping even more people find Outside the Box and Underground Sports Philadelphia. And we want to just keep pushing this thing to the moon. So go subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@Underground Sports Philadelphia. It's where you get full video episodes of this show and every show on our network. You get interviews, live streams, clips, shorts, all on our YouTube channel. As of this recording, we're at 448 subscribers, trying to get to 500 by the end of the month. Let's see if we can do it. We need a big push. I think we can rely on OTB Nation to come through, and obviously we're on that road to 1,000 subscribers as well. So go subscribe, smash that like button, ring the bell icon so that way you don't miss out on any of the content coming to the channel. And make sure you guys go get your merch from PHI Apparel Company, the exclusive merch partners of our podcast network. They're the best in the game, and they are fully behind us in helping take this thing to the next level. And PHI Apparel Company provides unique designs and high quality clothing for the great fans of the Outside the Box podcast. We're working on bringing back some classic merch designs for the spring and summer, so stay tuned for that. And with their original designs for all, there's no doubt you'll stand out in the crowd. Might have a MVP candidate rocking some of our merch pretty soon, Deej.
Yeah, I heard.
The order went out. Waiting for it to get to said MVP candidate. Actually, let's check that right now. I have the tracking up right now. It's just got its arrival scan, so it should be on its way. Hopefully, got to our boy in time. Very excited to see him rocking the merch. But you guys can also rock Outside the Box podcast merch. You go to phiapparel.co, use code underground, and you get 10% off any and all merch orders. Make sure you use that code, though, so that they know you're coming from us, PHIapparel.co, code underground for 10% off your merch orders. Coach Deej, talk to the people. What's popping, my brother?
Your boy's got his second dub ever. I was telling you pre-pod, I've got a blowout win. I've got a close win now. Winning 10-8. It was a fantastic game. 1-1 after one. Super tight. 4-3. Excuse me. 4-3 at half. Mind you, the worst half of lacrosse I've ever seen this team play. Even dating back to last year where this team didn't win a game. Worst half of lacrosse I've ever seen them play. So bad. We were up 4-3. Very, very solid third quarter. Up 9-6 after three. And then capped it off and won 10-8 in the fourth. Very good defense going down the stretch to secure that win. My goalie, Colton, who I talked about a number of times on here last year, is a completely different kid now. I mean, 10 saves, maybe more today. And he's had multiple double-digit save games this year. Like, kid is a stud. We got to work on this clear and then staying calm, but he can make saves now. And he did a phenomenal job. He was helping clear today. We finally were getting him into clearing and being comfortable handling the ball. He did that pretty well today. I think he only turned it over once in the clear. He was pretty patient, found the right guy and just moved it. And I was like, we are this close, fellas. We are this close. So I like where we're going. I like where we're going. We're headed in a good direction. We got a solid practice tomorrow. Well, today, as all of you are listening. And then we play tomorrow and hoping to do something that hasn't been done in a while again and win two games in 1 week. So
love to see it. Love to see it. Shout out to the boys. And as you said, we're this close. We're this close to the end of the regular season, DJ. NLL Week 21 recap. Week 21 was one for the books. Lots of stuff happened. This is how it all transpired. Calgary squeaks by Panther City 13-12 in both of those teams' final games of the regular season. Halifax puts a whooping on New York 15-6. Rochester stops Georgia right in their tracks. They clinch a playoff spot, and with that win, eliminate the Philadelphia Wings from postseason contention. They beat Georgia 12-10. In those sweet blackout uniforms. Buffalo holds on to beat Toronto 11-10. Saskatchewan in overtime pulls the upset on my Colorado Mammoth 12-11. San Diego absolutely trounces Las Vegas 14-4. And in overtime, the Philadelphia Wings play for pride and win 10-9 against Albany. This is what the standings and postseason picture look like going into the final week of the regular season. The Buffalo Bandits at 13-4 can lock up that number one seed overall in the entire playoffs this weekend. Toronto at 13-5. They are, c'est la vie, done for the season until the playoffs, obviously. Rochester sits at 10-7. They are in the postseason. Halifax is at 9-8. Georgia's at 8-9. Those two teams play each other this weekend in Georgia for a shot at the playoffs. One of those two teams is making the playoffs, and one of those two teams is eliminated from postseason contention following their game this coming weekend. The Wings, eliminated from playoff contention due to tiebreakers, sit at 8-9, but can finish the season at .500 if they win this weekend against Rochester. Riptide 4-13, Albany 3-14. Then in the West, San Diego plays this weekend. They're 13-4. Calgary is 13-5. They're locked in at the two seed due to the tiebreaker that San Diego has over them. Panther City's at 10-8. They are waiting to see what happens in the Mammoth and San Diego game, because I believe if the Mammoth win, they jump to the three seed. If the Mammoth lose, they stay in the four seed and are your wild card and taking on San Diego in the first round. Saskatchewan 7-10, eliminated from postseason contention, obviously. Desert Dogs 5-12, Warriors 4-13. What stood out, Deej? Week 21, a lot happened. Rochester ends that vaunted Georgia Swarm win streak. Wings eliminated from the playoffs. Buffalo holds on, can clinch the number one overall seed, as can San Diego. And then we have a wild card weekend with one game for a win and in going into week 22.
It was one of those weeks where you could tell people were shaping up for the playoffs. Like, there are teams who, like, weren't in, so they're like, we have nothing else to play for other than to possibly spoil your playoff. You know, your playoff hopes are, or to, you know, mess up your playoff crew. So it's like, you could feel kind of that sense of either we're getting ready for the playoffs or we're kind of just out here because we have to be, kind of thing. So it's like, I don't really like this part of seasons because it's like a lot of people start sitting, they play less, they do certain things just because the playoffs are around the corner. And that's kind of just what I got out of every game across the board, which wasn't completely true because there were a couple games that like had some meaning. So there were people like going pretty hard, but you could still kind of tell, like,
there was definitely like half of the games last week that it was like, okay, like playoff intensity zeros. Calgary Panther City.
Yep.
It was Georgia Rochester, Buffalo Toronto, which is anytime those two teams play. And then Colorado Saskatchewan was Saskatchewan was like, we're playing spoiler. And then even though they were eliminated, Wings and Albany still played each other tough and went to overtime. And good to see the Wings just stay resilient and get a win and have a shot at finishing at 500 going into this weekend. Rochester clinches their first postseason berth in this iteration of Rochester Nighthawks history. So we got a few first-time postseason appearances between Panther City and now this new Rochester Nighthawks squad coming in. So some new blood in the postseason.
Good. Yeah, I think that's good. That's what the sport needs. Mm-hmm. What the league needs. That's how it's going to continue to grow, is to see that it's a very even keeled league. I think that's what fans are starting to be more drawn to, is a league where there's, where you have to watch your favorite team every night because you don't know if they're going to win. In a lot of other sports, you can pass off. Oh, football is like another sport where it's like watched every week, not because your team could lose, but just that's just what they do. Mm-hmm. But like basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, there's games where fans don't watch just because they're like, oh, we're going to beat this team. It's not, I can do other things, or, you know, it isn't a huge deal.
And there are so many games.
And yeah, and there's so many games. Whereas like with the NLL, now you see 22 weeks, every game matters. Every game, every team's going to play you hard. And no matter who they are, they can beat you. Because we've seen Albany beating teams they had really no business beating at certain points this year. So the parity, I wouldn't even say the parity, just the the realism of the league when it comes to skill all across the board is what makes it the best. So I think having new squads in really shows that.
Yeah, week 21 was definitely one to set up a quality week 22. Postseason teams are almost all clinched. Deej, your State of the Fandom brought to you by our friends over at Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. They're providing a quality product for an absolute fraction of the price of the big eyewear companies. They got sunglasses, blue light glasses, prescription lenses, ski goggles, and it's owned by two former lacrosse players, Kyle Harrison and Chris Hogan. Tomahawk Shades has been rocking with us since 2020. Deej and I always wear them when we're out on the road. I'm wearing my blue light glasses anytime I'm editing, watching games on TV. All that good stuff. It really helps your eyes. You sleep better at night, and your eyes are less strained when you're wearing the blue light glasses. So you guys go fill up your carts at TomahawkShades.com. Check out everything they have to offer. And when you go to checkout, use promo code USP for 25% off at checkout. That's a crazy discount. TomahawkShades.com, code USP when you check out with our friends at Tomahawk Shades. Deeds, your state of the fandom. Playoffs almost fully set. How's it looking? As you said, this could be the year you select your team. How are you feeling?
Something about Rochester pulls me in. But I'll probably still have Grayscale Calgary up top. I can't get over the Toronto mascot. That's a big blow. And then I feel like everybody else I like doesn't follow us.
Buffalo doesn't follow us.
I don't think San Diego does.
San Diego does not follow us. It's tough.
Then again,
you know what's real tough? You know what's
Georgia's kind of creeping back in.
You know what's real tough, dude? The four teams who don't follow us could all make the playoffs this year.
Which is crazy.
Which means we actively have to root against four teams. Unless they want to finally get on board and follow us. We'll have our allegiances going into the playoffs. Let's say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which right now, it's Rochester. If they get in, it's Halifax. And then it's Panther City, Colorado, and Calgary.
Yeah. I like PCLC. I like PCLC too. So
yeah. Big fans of them. Big fans of my Mammoth, obviously, defending champs. Lots to get into with week 22, though. Week 22 preview. Final games of the regular season on deck, all taking place on Saturday. And this is a crazy week picks wise too. This is for all the marbles, Teach. It's for all the marbles for the regular season title in our pick'em.
Yeah.
Obviously it extends into the postseason for us as well. We keep a running tally in the postseason. But these are the matchups for the final week of the regular season. It's Philadelphia at Rochester, Buffalo at Albany, Halifax at Georgia in a postseason preview matchup, pretty much. Win, get in for both of those teams.
Are you even close enough to catch me?
I have to see what our records were.
I'll check that.
From last week. Because I did gain a game on you last week.
I'll check that. Yeah, of course you did. I had a really bad week last week.
Going into last week, I was four games behind, yeah, so I'm three games back.
Yeah, you could. Okay.
Three games back going for the regular season.
I went
4-3, and I went 5-2.
Yeah, so you're at 71-43. And I'm at 73-40.
Which, I'm going to pull it up right now, actually. See what our...
what it was last year.
Yeah. So going into game one of the NLL Finals last year, I had 72 wins. You had 75.
Wow.
So we improved.
I'm a beast, man.
We improved in our picks. As a tandem here on the show, if you went with either of us pick-wise, you improved from last year.
I might. Might. Might.
Because you finished with 76 wins last year because Colorado won two. And Buffalo won one, and we kind of just picked sides on that. So you went 76-55 last year. I went 74-57.
I might break my law on betting and only bet NLL because I am just
we're dogs, beast. Bro. We're studs.
I am just a beast.
We're studs with our picks.
It's crazy.
The fact that we are going to have back-to-back 70-plus win seasons on our hands is insane.
Yeah.
We just know how to pick them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. What can I say?
The other matchups, like we mentioned, Halifax and Georgia, that's a playoff game. Win and get in. Colorado at San Diego for seeding for the Mammoth. New York at Vancouver, which is somehow the unflexible game of the week at 10 o'clock Eastern time between 2-4 and 13 teams. And then Saskatchewan at Las Vegas in the nightcap at 10:30 Eastern time. I mean, there's three games that are worth watching this weekend, in my opinion. Unless you're a fan of any of these teams and you want to watch your team for one last time.
Or just a fan of lacrosse and just want to watch them all.
Three games that are definitely worth like sitting down, watching, and enjoying. Rochester, Philly, because that I think we can say that's a rivalry, Deej.
Yes.
That's a vaunted rivalry already. Halifax, Georgia is our game of the week. That's our game of the week.
Yes.
And then Colorado, San Diego. That's a rivalry as well, and that's for seeding. We'll see what happens there. But those are the three games. If you want to watch games this weekend, it's those three, in my opinion.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, I don't want to say those are the three that matter, but like they have implication moving into next week. So
those are three of the four that matter, because Buffalo game matters for number one overall seed for home field advantage, depending on if them and San Diego are the two teams in the finals.
Yeah.
But should we do? Are you home Saturday night?
Yeah.
Do we do an OTB cast for Halifax, Georgia?
Listen. The only reason Georgia can't be my favorite team is because of Stinger.
And they don't follow us.
So we can do it. But I'm probably going to go so hard for Lyle and the rest of Georgia. So,
which will be fun because I would totally root for Halifax. Because them in the playoffs would just be bonkos. But that game's going to be crazy. I'd say right now, if you're listening to this part of the podcast, there's a 90% chance we're doing an OTB cast on Saturday night at 7 o'clock Eastern time on YouTube.
Yes, 90%.
But yeah, those are the matchups that stand out to us. Obviously, I think it's crazy that TSN, for all the Canadian viewers, can't flex the game of the week to Halifax and Georgia from New York and Vancouver. Like, that makes zero sense to me. I hope going into next season that's something that gets fixed with the TSN scheduling, is like leaving room and windows open for flexing the schedule there, because to have 2-4-13 eliminated postseason teams being your game of the week, sure, Jeff T, great, but like that's just dumb. There's no need for that.
Well, the only thing I can think is Jeff T hasn't been viewable to them all year. So
I get that, but even so, when you have a win and get in situation involving a Canadian team.
I agree. I'm just pointing out there's
just crazy possible there's point. There's no flex like option whatsoever. It's kinda dumb.
You think it's dumb. You think it's dumb. Ask Canadians how they feel about it.
A lot of people think it's dumb.
Ask Canadians how they feel about it.
I think you can ask just lacrosse fans in general.
Some of my teammates, former teammates that live up there, I get an earful about it all the time. You just say, man, I don't even want to hear it, DJ. You got ESPN. You just da 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 da. I'm like, my bad, bro. My bad. You're like, do you know how awful TSN? Bro, my bad. My bad. You got it. They hate it.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, final week of the regular season. It's crazy to think we're already at the end of the 2022-2023 NLL regular season. Postseason is going to be a wild ride. And still postseason spot up for grabs. And I think without any further ado, Deej, we just we get right into it. We head on over to the Picks Pond one final time for this regular season. And we give everybody the Week 22 Picks of the Week powered by Trophy Smack. Guys, there's no better way to upgrade your fantasy smack talk than with our friends at Trophy Smack. The fantasy football league I'm in just upgraded their trophy from our friends at Trophy Smack. Two-time champ right here on that new trophy. You can do the same with trophies, belts, rings, metal wall art, last place trophies. They do all the engravings and stuff for you. It's a phenomenal way to make your fantasy leagues that much better and step up your fantasy smack talk. You guys can go to trophysmack.com/underground. Link is in the description on YouTube and in the show notes on audio to upgrade your fantasy smack talk today. Use that link, trophysmack.com/underground, to upgrade your fantasy smack talk. Deej, we kick things off in Rochester. Philadelphia Wings, the Rochester Nighthawks. Wings have won both matchups this season so far. Looking to take three straight, finish at 500. Rochester firmly entrenched in the playoffs. They are locked into that three seed in the East. How do you see this one playing out?
I'll take Rochester just because it's a rivalry. I don't think, one, it's hard to beat a team three times in a season, but also I don't think they're going to sit anybody or anything like that because of how these two teams feel about each other.
I'm going to go with the Wings on principle. Want to see them finish at 500, finish strong going into what is going to be a very interesting offseason for the Wings, for sure. And with Rochester being locked into their playoff spot with no movement possible, it wouldn't shock me if guys don't play as much as they typically do, or second half rolls around and you roll in some different guys to keep guys fresh for the playoffs and reduce that risk of injury. So I'm going to go with the Wings to get that final dub of 2023. I think we're both in agreement for the next game. Buffalo handles business in Albany.
Yes. No question. No question.
So that takes us to the next game, which is the postseason preview. Win and get in for both the Halifax Thunderbirds and the Georgia Swarm. One of these teams is punching the final ticket to the postseason. The other team is going home. Deej, it's Lyle versus Randy Stotts. Jake Withers versus Jeremy Thompson at the stripe. A lot on the line for both of these franchises. How do you see this playing out?
Gut feeling says Georgia. I cannot tell you why. Other than they've been playing really good. Brett Dobson's been playing good. And I think that loss that they had last week, they feel upset about it, because that was the one that they felt they should have had to just lock in the playoff and be smooth. But they gave it up, and now they have to make up for it. They don't like that position necessarily, so they're going to come out and play like it. And other than that, there's a gut feeling that just says Georgia.
Based on what I have to do to catch up in picks and just how I feel about this game, I'm going T-Birds. Give me Halifax. Mm-hmm. Halifax gets in and makes TSN have some eggy on their face by not flexing this game. We move to the Nightcaps, Deej. 10 o'clock Eastern time in San Diego. Colorado, San Diego. Seals looking for the number one overall seed. Colorado could bump up to the 3 seed in the West with a win, or they stay in the wild card, and we'll get this matchup again next week to kick off the playoffs. How do you see Colorado and San Diego playing out?
San Diego's going to win. They gotta try and lock in the number one overall. I think that really matters to them in terms of having home field advantage for an eventual NLL finals, which they are very much one a contender for. And in their eyes, that's what is what they're 100% going for. I'm trying to, what's the word? I don't want to say failure if they don't get there, but that's kind of where they're on the
Do
track.
You remember, there's no failure in sports, according to Giannis.
You're correct. But, you know, that's the along their line of thinking. Like, we are expected to be there. That's mm-hmm. where we need to be. So I think that starts now in trying to get first place.
I'm going with San Diego as well. They're just an unbelievable team. And any moment that you try to count them out, they make you look like an idiot. Not saying Colorado's a bad team. They've fought and they've been resilient all year long to get to this point. But I'm going to go with San Diego to get the dub. Move to the game of the week, air quotes. New York at Vancouver. Might be the most difficult game to pick simply based on the fact that they're both 4-13. And I'm just saying this, it's tough to be in a situation where, you know, this game doesn't really matter for much other than pride, and you have to travel across the country to go play it. So New York having to travel all the way to Vancouver is tough. How do you see this one going, Deej?
I still like my Riptide here.
I'm just going to have fun with the final week, and I'm going to go Vancouver. They're okay. Home. They've kind of been playing, like, pretty solid down the stretch, too. Even though, you know, the results aren't there. They've been playing fundamentally pretty solid, and I'll give the tip of the cap to the home floor advantage. Final game of the regular season, 10:30 Eastern time in Las Vegas. Saskatchewan versus Las Vegas. The final game of the regular season. Deej, who's taking it home in Sin City?
Saskatoon. No question. I think the Rush can wrap this one up pretty easily and try and slide into the playoffs. I think that's their plan.
Well, they're eliminated.
Okay, never mind. I thought so. But it's just a nice way to end the season for them and then continue to build, because they had some pretty solid wins down the stretch, just lost too many early and didn't have enough. So I think the ending the season on a good note is something important to them right now.
Las Vegas just hasn't been able to score over the last month and a half. You know, when you think they can put together one of those games like they have earlier in the year, they just haven't been able to. Their offense has kind of disappeared, so I'm going to go with Saskatchewan as well to get the win. So there are our picks, precisely and kind of unintentionally, really. A perfect split of a potential tie in the regular season picks, Deej. I've got Philly, you've got Rochester, we both got Buffalo. I've got Halifax, you've got Georgia, we both got San Diego. I'm taking Vancouver, you've got New York, and we've both got Saskatchewan. And those are Week 22 NLL Picks of the Week, powered by Trophy Smack, where we could end the regular season in a tie.
Which would be bananas.
That would be incredible. Like, I know you don't want it, per se, but I'm really rooting for a tie, because that would just prove how calculated and genius we are in picking these games.
I know. I just want to hold on to that crown for another year.
The next bit of news before we get into... I forgot to add this onto the docket. We had... the unfortunate, I mean, it's not like it was a dramatic thing, but I want to make sure there's no typo here, which there is. It will be brought to you by our friends over at Kenwood Beer, the official beer of Underground Sports Philadelphia. It's 4.1% ABV, 127 calories, 127 calories, 10 grams of carbs. It's light body, light beer, the best light beer on the planet, actually. And there's plenty of flavor. You guys can go to kenwoodbeer.com, see who has Kenny's on tap in the Philadelphia area. You can buy it at your local Philadelphia area liquor store. And if you're in Eastern Pennsylvania, you can get it at your local Whole Foods. Kenwood Beer, must be 21 or older to do so. And please drink responsibly. Deej, one of our favorite big team guys, potentially the biggest team guy ever, John Rannegan, announced his retirement earlier this week. Kind of out of the blue. Sad to see Ranny go. He is big time, like one of the most genuine, kind-hearted, and just incredible humans that I have met along this journey of covering professional lacrosse over the last 4.5 years, both, you know, in the NLL and the PLL. Obviously, he was in Philadelphia for a little stint here over the last year or so, so getting to see him up close was phenomenal, and John Rannegan is just such a sweet human being. Like, to put it simply, he is one of the best to ever do it. Incredible leader, both on and off the field. And the sport of lacrosse, in terms of just who's on the field, got a little less this week with John Rannegan's retirement announcement.
It's one of those retirements that's bittersweet, because it's like a passing of the torch moment. You know, like, he realizes they have Justin Anderson, Logan Wisnowskis. They're going to draft another guy this year. Like, he doesn't have to play anymore. He's like, okay, the young guys got it. But it's also like bitter, because it's like, you don't necessarily have to leave yet. You still have stuff in the tank. You're still a very good player. You're still very much contributing to the locker room. Like, there's so many things that he's still doing and that he has done that we don't want to see leave the game. But it's like, we got to let that tie go. We got to let John be John. Like, we'll never forget what he's done on the field, whether it was in the box game or on the field. He's done so many phenomenal things, and he's been a part of so many teams that have done phenomenal things that he's not ever going to be someone who forgets. And we're not going to forget what he's done. He's going to coach somewhere. Like, it's just bound to happen. So he'll continue to be around the game. He'll give back to the game. We'll see him at events in the future. Like, there's nothing to harp over here. It's it's A-okay, and it always sucks to see a guy go, but in all reality, we had to know the time was coming soon.
And this, to put it out there too, this is just from the PLL. As far as we know, we don't know if John's retiring. Also from the NLL, obviously his Georgia Swarm have at least one more game on their schedule this season, so this is simply for his PLL career. The statement he put out, though, is truly John Rannegan to a T. After 10 incredible years of playing professional lacrosse, I have decided to retire. As I reflect on the last decade, I am filled with gratitude for the opportunity to live out my childhood dream and to meet some of the most meaningful people in my life along the way. The sport has grown so much, and it's amazing to see the opportunities ahead for the next group of professional lacrosse players. The biggest thing I'm going to miss most about playing is the quality time spent with my teammates, from Yorktown to Johns Hopkins, to the Rats, and finally the Chrome Men. I leave having played with hundreds of brothers and lifelong friends. I owe a big thank you to all my coaches for believing in me and pushing me to be the best player and teammate I could be. I also want to thank all the trainers, support staff, and employees of the PLL for making this experience so memorable. Finally, to all my friends and family, especially my dad, mom, and sisters, I cannot thank you enough for the support I received from you all these years. I couldn't have asked for a better support group, and I will cherish those memories we shared forever. Lacrosse has given me more than I could ever dream of and has been such a huge part of my life. I am looking forward to the next chapter and staying involved in this great sport. Thank you, John Rannegan.
I don't even have words to back that up.
He's a stud. He's an all-timer. Will certainly be somebody we're trying to get on this podcast now that he's got bit more free time. But congrats to John Rannegan, like, ultimate team guy, and every single person you ask says he gives the best post-game hugs as well. So, number one hugger in pro lacrosse history, question mark. But shout out to Ranny, and congratulations, brother, on one hell of a career.
That's hugger is crazy.
Your boy That's Mike Poulin has been on the record a number of times saying that.
Well, might be some validity to that.
There might be. From Ranny's retirement to an all-star game announcement, Deej. The PLL all-star game in a new market. It's going to be in Louisville, Kentucky, July 22nd. I love this move for the PLL. I love this move for the sport. And I think this needs to be the move here on out when it comes to the All-Star game. I do not want to see the All-Star game in another quote-unquote hotbed city like ever again. I want to see the PLL use these untapped markets, use new cities that they haven't been to on a regular season tour basis, and go to places where they feel like they can test it out to make it a tour stop in the future and see what the turnout's like. That's what your All-Star game should be for, and I love that they're doing it in a brand new market in an untapped city like Louisville, Kentucky, with the sport of lacrosse. You got the Bellarmine connection there with Dylan Ward and Ryan Augehaven. I think this is such a smart move by the league. Kentucky's going to be unbelievable in July. This is awesome for the league. This is such a monumental decision, in my opinion, to have the All-Star game there. I think Louisville's going to show out in a big way, and if we can hopefully find way cheaper flights than what they are now, we'd love to get to Louisville. Buy your merch, get your merch, get your merch, get your merch. But what were your thoughts when Louisville was announced as the All-Star game spot?
I immediately wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And I thought about flying there, and I was like, kind of expensive.
Kind of.
And I don't know about driving there, because I don't really want to drive that far. So, as bad as I want to go. Wow. As bad as I want to go, I'm not going to. But I like that it's on Saturday.
I do love that it's on a Saturday. They're listening to us. There's some, the league listens to the pod.
There's some growth now that can happen. But I think Louisville's a great place for it. The game is starting to grow in Kentucky a little bit. Louisville's definitely a place where they're playing some high school ball, some club ball, and they're really starting to work the sticks down there. So I think it kind of brings lacrosse a little more central to the country going to Louisville, Kentucky. So I think this is really a ploy to kind of help grow the game a little bit.
And it's just one of those cities that, like, this is the type of stuff we want to continue to see from the PLL, is go to these untapped markets, go to these places you haven't been before, and just try it. See how the city reacts to the sport coming to, you know, this city. Like, we would love in the future, like, the All-Star game to be in, like, Nashville. Have it be in, you know, like a Houston or an Austin, Texas. Have it be in Arizona. Have it be in Orlando. Like, these other markets that are kind of untapped but have the foundation there for it to be a successful weekend. This is a step in the right direction for how the PLL should be approaching the All-Star game. And I'm a big, big fan of Kentucky being kind of the first spot for this this new wave of PLL All-Star game kind of introduction. And this gives me hope for good All-Star game jerseys. Gives me hope.
Yeah, what do you think?
I don't know. I just, it's being that it's a new spot and like such a, like Louisville, Kentucky is like one of those like iconic U.S. cities. So it gives me hope for something that's going to kind of blow you away a little bit and top some of the jerseys we've had over the past couple years. Obviously nothing's going to top that beautiful one to your left shoulder right there. The tie-dyes are just simply magnificent, and nothing will ever top those, but hopefully we get something pretty close, and All-Star game in Kentucky. Very excited to see how that all transpires. But, Deej, let's get into your college lacrosse rundown. It is brought to you by our friends over at Dubby Energy, who just celebrated their second birthday. And what did they do, Deej? They released a brand new flavor and a brand new shaker with a really cool looking panda on it that I have right here if you're watching on the YouTube. The Cali O Cream flavor, which is mango orange cream. Tastes just like a creamsicle. It is absolutely delicious. And you can go and get your own from our friends at Dubby. They have the best energy in the game. It's all natural. No calories, no sugar, no artificial flavors, no maltodextrin fillers, no artificial colors. It tastes delicious. And it's got the patented NeuroFactor in their formula, which has been proven to improve brain performance by up to 143%. There's no crash, no jitters. You feel good when you're drinking it. It contains coffee fruit extract and some of the flavors, like I mentioned, the Cali O Cream, the Big Energy Tears, which is the blue raspberry flavor, the Galaxy Grenade, which is watermelon, guava, and lime. My personal favorite is the Beach and Peach, which is the white peach mango cooler. They also have the Dub Sludge, which is the Granny Smith apple and secret sauce, the Passion Joy Tea, which is passion fruit iced tea. And if you're looking to kind of shake the caffeine, they've got the caffeine-free Hydro Hydration Monkey Madness flavor, which is the strawberry banana. They've got shakers. They've got mouse pads, the extra large desk mouse pads in stock right now. They've also got some really cool merch designs. So you guys can go to dubby.gg and go to war on Big Energy like we are and use code UNDERGROUND for 10% off your order. Clean up your energy game with our friends at Dubby. But Deej, let's get into it. Your college lacrosse rundown, week 12 recap.
Yeah, so we're getting into that point in the season where we're about to start to see, teams get ready for their conference tournaments. You know, teams are getting in, teams aren't getting in, you know, getting their matchup, who they're going to play. So last week was really, really key in seeding for a lot of conference tournaments. So Cornell coming up with a huge win against Brown, 16-9. Delaware over Drexel, 18-13. Loyola Maryland has done a fantastic job, but it's gotten, like, really bad favorings in the betting books, which is weird. They've had a phenomenal season, but they're just not getting love. They got another win against Colgate. Air Force pulling out a huge 4-point 15-11 dub over Jacksonville. Hopkins over Maryland 12-11, which Hopkins had a fantastic year in the Big Ten. They might literally be back. Army over Navy 11-6. Penn over Dartmouth big. Notre Dame over North Carolina big 16-9. Princeton over Harvard. St. Joe over UMass 11-10 in overtime. Fantastic game. Georgetown over St. John's 18-12. Nova over Marquette 16-15 in overtime as well. That was also a very, very good game. Syracuse drops another to Virginia 19-12. Same score for Utah over Cleveland State. Richmond over Hobart 20-15. Towson over Monmouth, 15-11. High Point picked up a dub over St. Bonaventure as well. Oh, I almost forgot. Friday night, I started with Saturday for whatever reason. Friday night, Denver picked up a big win, 13-6 over Providence. Yale over Albany, 14-6. Basically the same score for Penn State over Rutgers, 14-5. Penn State gets a share with John Hopkins for the Big Ten title. And Michigan over Ohio State, 19-14, which made me happy. And those two will play again on Saturday for first round of the Big Ten tournament. So at UM Lacrosse Stadium. I thought about going, but I probably won't make it. Game starts at 3, and I'm coaching at noon all the way in Grand Rapids, which is quite a ways from Ann Arbor. So, yeah, sorry. UAlbany going 2-0 in the weekend, by the way, beating Merrimack 13-11 on Sunday. Virginia picking up a huge dub 20-11 over Lafayette. Xander Dixon with maybe the best shot of the season. Did you see it?
No.
Oh, just. Oh, I'll find it and send it to you on Twitter. It was crazy. And that was for his 50th goal of the season, which only him and Kirst have 50 goals this year. So he's out doing his thing. Penn over Albany, 14-11. And that leads us to Friday of this upcoming week. Boston gets Army, Hobart and UMass, Navy and Bucknell, Nova and Georgetown are going at it, Denver and Marquette, Loyola and Lehigh. Those are the big ones. There's a few others going on, but that's what you really want to be looking out for. Friday, Saturday, Mercer and Lindenwood would actually be a very good game. Jacksonville, Bellarmine will be a great game as well. I mean, can we ever overlook Syracuse Duke? No. The Ivy League tournament will be interesting, considering everybody's been fairly even there. So all of those matchups are very good matchups across the board. St. Joe High Point will be fun as well. St. Bonnie's in Richmond, Delaware and Townsend. Obviously, Michigan and Ohio State. Notre Dame and Virginia are playing on Sunday. That's worth a look as well. Obviously, that I will be watching that. I will be finding time for that. And Mount St. Mary's and Manhattan are awaiting their opponents for next week on Thursday. But that's all we got. They're pretty much ending conference play or starting tournament play this weekend. So be on the lookout for all of that stuff because it will be fun. A lot will be going on, and the games all mean something.
So there it is, the rundown for week 12 in the college game. Not much else to get into. A quick and easy one. Actually, in the middle of this episode, you might see...
We can hit the big boards real quick.
Oh, right, right, right. Kark's big boards. Duh, I knew we were forgetting something. You still might, if you've gotten this far, in the middle of this episode, might see a Drake Porter Duke review. We'll let you know. You'll know. If you see it, you see it. If you don't, you don't. But, Deej, we've got Kark's big boards that we kind of sifted through a little bit, but we've got kind of the position-by-position ones broken down as well. This is Kark's two-way MIDI big board right here. Currently looks like this. Number one, Brian Tevlin from Notre Dame, the University of Notre Dame. Is it McCahan? From Notre Dame as well. McCahan.
Yeah.
Jeff Connor from Virginia, and then Garrett Ledman from Duke. Those are the four on his two-way MIDI board.
What were the first three again? I was like listening, but I wasn't.
You see how he treats me, guys? It's Brian Tevlin, Quinn McCahan, Jeff Connor, and Garrett Ledman.
Okay, I like that list. Wildly, I like Ledman the most, personally. That's who I would pull out of the group. He's a guy who came in supposed to be a demon, Omid guy.
Thought you were about to say he was supposed to be a demon.
No. Supposed to be an Omid.
Demon time.
Supposed to be an Omid guy at Duke. Turns into a D-mid. Is a stud at D-mid. Plays it for 3 years. And now he's an Omid at Duke. And they occasionally let him go two-way because he's still got the skills. So it's like, no question. In the PLL with the shortened field, you can leave him out there. He can play a solid round of D and then take it down and rip. I don't see a question. I don't see a question about it.
Here is Kark's big board for defense. Number one, Gavin Adler. Number two, Will Bowen. Number three, Owen Grant. Number four, Brett Maker. Number five, Alex Mazzone. Number six, Chris Fake. Number seven, Troy Hettinger. Number eight, Cade Sostad. Number nine, John Geppert. And number 10, Ethan Rall. I'm a big Owen Grant guy myself.
I mean, this is a defensive-heavy draft again, honestly. But Owen Grant is probably the best defender available. Zapatello is very good as well. It's stacked.
Adler's a stud.
I mean, yeah, Adler from Cornell is very good as well. Like it's going to be a lot of defensemen pulled in this draft, and I think a lot of them will do very well at the next level. So a lot of these, I think the top five are almost interchangeable. Top three are like top three, but then the next five are almost interchangeable. And the bottom two are the bottom two. But that, what is that? So that leaves like four to seven or four to eight. They're all interchangeable there. So it's a very solid defensively skilled group. And I think a lot of them are going to get drafted.
Kark's big board for face-off athletes. Number one, Mike Sisselberger. Obviously, that's one of Deej's guys. Number two, Petey Lasala. Number three, James Riley. And number four, Zach Cole.
It's tough. Sisselberger is, like, very good at the craft of face-off and can play some defense. But then you have Cole and Lasala, who can play a solid round of D if you really need them to, are very good at the craft of face-off, but are offensive weapons as well. So you run into that territory of, do you want to go with a guy like Sisselberger, who is a T.D. Erland? Or do you want to go with a guy like Lasala or Cole, who are going to be more of a Trevor or Joe Nardella? So it's all about, literally when it comes to the face-off game, it's all about the style of your team and what you need in your face-off guy. The Woods don't need a guy to push and score. They need a guy to just get the ball. So that's why they went with TD. Just win the face-off, get into our offense, let them do their job. Versus the Whips, who don't need that, but they're not shying away from it either. They're a very fast team who likes to run the transition, so they let Joe push it when it's there. So it's all just relative to how your team plays. I think quite a few of these guys will get drafted because there's some teams who need it, but it's all, like I said,
at least three of them get drafted, I would say.
Right, but it's all where they fall will all depend on who has what's available when. Because, like I said, there's only, you know, like we just said, there's only about three teams who need one, so they're probably going to wait off a little bit.
Are we thinking the same three teams as well?
I would assume.
Archers, Cannons, Whips.
Yep.
And is it crazy for me to say that the Archers should be going after Sisselberger, even though they have Inacio, but he's out for the year? I think Sisselberger is better.
For their play style, yes. I think they're very I think they're very much in a Woods-like system where we just need you to get us the ball, get it to our offense, and then we'll do the rest. But I think those three teams might even wait off on these guys because there's no need to push to get
especially
them.
Especially the Cannons, because they only have two draft picks, I think.
Right. Well, one, that, and two, there's no push to get them because – not a ton of teams need a face-off guy. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to burn a roster spot on a face-off guy that they don't need. So,
and the Cannons are like that one much team too. That like don't have a guy coming. Like they have Bones Kelly, but they don't have a guy coming back from injury next year.
Mm-hmm.
So like they can afford to draft a face-off guy to be like their guy of the future.
Yep.
Which they could also be another team that benefits from Sisselberger, in my opinion.
I'd like them to take one of the – I would like them to take Petey Lasala, honestly. I think the way he would fit with their attack line and his offensive ability would be very similar to the Whip Snakes. And he'd have a
New York Riptide.
He'd have that freedom to go and score if it's there, but also attackman would be able to take that feed from him and just rip because they'll be open.
Looking at this is Kark's big board of just offensive prospects. So top 10 offensive prospects. This includes attackmen and midfielders. Number one, Sam Hanley, which is not a given that he is going to be available because he might go back to school. Number two, Thomas McCunvey. Number three, Tucker Dordovich. Number four, Matt Campbell. Number five, Brian Minikis. Number six, Xander Dixon. Number seven, Jack Myers. Number eight, Kyle Long. Number nine, Ty Kurtz. And number 10, Max Waldbaum.
It's hard to argue with this list because there's a lot of four-year guys who you don't know if they're going to go back or not. And that's kind of the holdup on putting guys on these kind of lists because you don't really know yet. But I mean, who he has on the list is very solid. Even if, like, Sam Hanley, for example, we don't really know what he's going to do, but he's too good to not have him on the list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then looking at everybody behind him, very good players, all very savvy with their sticks, know how to shoot, definitely draw attention, heavy attention, and can move to teammates when they're open and really set up teammates, have more joy. I really noticed with the players on this list, they have more joy in setting up their teammates than they do when they score themselves, which I think is a huge quality of an offensive player. I you should want to set up your teammates just as much as you want to score. I get a little upset at one of my attackmen because he doesn't dodge to score. He never really attacks. He doesn't shoot much. I'm like, why does he never want to shoot? And then I saw it today. He got his fourth assist of the game and he ran over like toward the top of the box. He just was like, that's four assists. And he like pointed right at me. I was like, and that was you. Cause like, I didn't even know what else to say. Cause like, you know, I was like, that's what happens when you dodge hard, moved it once, goal. Like, you know, and I can't even be upset anymore that he's so happy to feed his teammates. Like, you should be that happy when you set your teammates up. And that's how these guys are. And that's a skill that will translate over to the PLL, and I'm sure that's something every coach looks for at that level.
Also, we put a tweet out last week asking a bunch of people, which the homie, friend of the program, big time, Coach Andy Towers, liked the tweet. Maybe he's using OTB to do some draft scouting to see which college players you guys wanted us to potentially try and get on the show leading into the draft. Overwhelming, Deej, Thomas McCunvey. Number of responses for Thomas to come on the show. So here is our public call out to Thomas McCunvey. Come on the podcast, brother. You're wanted. The people want to hear from you. They want to know. They want you on the program. Let's make it happen. Thomas McCunvey, come on the podcast challenge. Do you think Sam Hanley's gonna go number one regardless of if he's going back to school or not? I mean, if there was ever a year that Atlas could afford to do a pick, like if there was ever a team at number one to afford to make a pick that's not gonna play right away,
maybe
it's this year with Atlas.
Maybe it the only thing that deters me from saying yes is Thomas McCombie. He has a very similar body style, very similar play style. He can dodge very hard. He can shoot it. He can move it. He draws attention. Like The only difference is Sam Hanley has a few inches and pounds on him. So I did.
The draft order, too, for everybody who may have missed this this past week. Round one, it's Atlas, Redwoods, Atlas, Chrome Archers, Whips, Chaos Water Dogs. Round two, it's Cannons, Redwoods, Atlas, Chrome Archers, Whips, Chaos Water Dogs. Round three, it's Chaos, Redwoods, Atlas, Chrome Archers, Whipsnakes, Chaos Water Dogs. And round four, it's Cannons, Redwoods, Atlas, Chrome Archers, Whipsnakes, Chaos Water Dogs. So only really round one and round three are a little altered there at the top with Atlas and Chaos having multiple picks. Lots going to go down. We're working on some guests for the PLL College Draft Spectacular 2023 happening May 9th, 2023 right here on the YouTube channel. You don't want to miss it. We're trying to make this the biggest one yet. So definitely go subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss out on that. And I think that's all we got for this week's episode. So make sure you guys are following us at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI as well. OTB LaxPod is the place to be, though, on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Go do it. Go subscribe. Subscribe. Leave a 5-star review. It goes a long way for helping the show continue to grow. Helps more people find OTB and Underground Sports Philadelphia. And subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. It's where you get full video episodes of this show, every show on our network, and you get live streams, OTB cast, 90% sure that's going to go down on Saturday. It's where you get the PLL College Draft Spectacular as well. You get clips, interviews, live streams, all that good stuff, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. And go get your merch, phiapparel.co. Code Underground, 10% off any and all merch orders from our awesome friends at PHI Apparel Company. This has been episode number 272 of the allegedly award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA-ranked, and of course viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box Podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. For Deej, KB, till next time, we're getting the heck up out of here. Peace.
Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.